Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We humans don't naturally like to be alone. And so what a joyous message it is to hear that we are not alone. Our God is with us. When we're little, the fear of being away from mom and dad manifests itself in a number of ways, including separation, anxiety, or homesickness. See, life is just not right. Life is incomplete when we are apart from our parents. Even as we grow up and move away, there's an emptiness that we feel. Becoming an adult is exciting, yet few of us do so without experiencing the sadness of being away from our family. As we grow older, there is nothing that we want more than to be with our loved ones when those significant days come around. From birthdays to holidays to other important life events, there are few things that we desire more than to be surrounded by family and friends. In fact, that desire to not be alone is so strong in us that oftentimes when we are alone, we will turn to what you might call digital companions on the phone, the computer, the tablet, or even the TV, so that we might be kept company when we are alone. Our desire to not be alone is a strong one. And so it's a sad reality then that so many people are extraordinarily lonely these days. Sure, we have our digital companions. We have email and telephones. We have text messaging and video chats to keep us in contact over distance with others. And yet, people feel more alone today than ever before. Why? Well, the simple reason is that God created us to be with other people in the flesh, not just virtually. And whether we recognize it or not, it isn't only other people that we long to be with. It's also God that we desire to be with. And that desire, praise the Lord, is true on God's part as well. He desires to be with us too. This is why our Lord's incarnation is such good news. See, in Jesus, God has fulfilled his eternal desire to draw near to his people. And so this morning, as we consider how the Word became flesh and dwelt among us at our Lord's incarnation, we will consider first how the story of the Scriptures is about a God who wants nothing more than to be with his people. And then secondly, we will consider how the story of the church is about a God who indeed does come to be with his people. So first, we consider the story of the Scriptures and how it is about a God who wants nothing more than to be with his people. In the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve in the garden, he walked with them. See, Adam and Eve didn't even initially know God as an invisible spirit as we do today. They simply knew him as one to whom they spoke face to face. God was with them. It was only a result of sin, then, that Adam and Eve became separated from God. And so after they sinned, they hid from him. After the fall, the best that man could do to be in contact with God was to pray to him, to remember his word, and to offer up sacrifices to him. Even though they were terrified of God, they still wanted to be near him. It just simply was not possible. It wasn't until much later than when the tabernacle was built and the glory of the Lord filled it that God once again dwelled on earth with his people. But even in the tabernacle and later in the temple, God's glory was too great for people to approach. At the end of Exodus, when the tabernacle was completed, not even Moses could enter the tent of meeting when God's glory filled the tabernacle. See, God was with his people, but the people still couldn't come near to him. And so the only way that God's people could continue to even live in the presence of the tabernacle or later the temple, the only way that the Israelite priests could approach the Lord on behalf of the people was through the complex Levitical purification and sacrificial system. See, God was only accessible through cleansing water and through the shedding of blood. But then, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, when the incarnation happened, that division between God and man was destroyed. Now, access to God's presence is still through the cleansing water and the shed blood, but no longer is it our action of cleansing and sacrifice which gives us access to God's presence. No, it is Christ's action alone which grants us access to God's presence. My friends, this is why the Word became flesh at Christmas. He did so that he could grant eternal access to God's presence to us humans who have alienated ourselves from him by our sin. And our Lord did this by the cleansing water and the shed blood, which flowed from his side on the cross, just as St. John tells us in John chapter 19. One of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. See, the division between God and man was destroyed. The story of the Scriptures shows us that God has come to be with his people. And God continues to come to be with his people today. This is the story of the church. See, the church is the place where God comes to be with his people here in time as we await the renewed creation where we will dwell in God's presence forever in the new heavens and the new earth. And so this is why Christ's church is incarnational. This is why the church can't be virtual. This is why there is no such thing as truly going to church on the internet, on the TV, or on the radio. Sure, those things can be good blessings when it's simply not possible to attend church. They can certainly be good supplements and additions to regular church attendance. However, technology, no matter how good it is, can never replace the divine service. Christianity is incarnational. It is in the flesh. And the divine service requires that Christians assemble in the flesh to be with their Savior Jesus in the flesh. Because when the church gathers together physically, our God draws near to us tangibly. And he does so primarily in two ways. The first way that our Lord draws near to his church tangibly is in holy baptism. It is in holy baptism that our lives as Christians begin. Through baptism, we receive Christ and his gift of the Holy Spirit. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, instead of being alienated from God as unclean and hostile people, God has cleansed us in the water. Our sins are washed away, and we are given new life. Our debt of sin against God is forgiven, and now he looks upon us through Jesus, and he dwells in and among us by the Holy Spirit. See, the new birth in holy baptism is a very real physical experience in which God drowns you and brings you back to life. This is how he comes to be with his people. In the cleansing waters of holy baptism, God draws near to us. But as good of a gift as this is, thanks be to God that there is still more. See, following baptism, our lives as Christians don't only consist in reading and learning and praying. There is a second way in which our Lord draws near to his church tangibly. And that, of course, is through the Holy Communion, where we are sustained through the sacramental eating and drinking of our Lord Jesus' body and blood. See, communion, by its very definition, involves fellowship and sharing. It involves joining together. The Holy Communion with Christ is a real, tangible experience. Just like when you have your Christmas feasts at home, you're not just pretending to eat food or talking about it or watching food on a screen. That would be absurd. You're chewing and tasting and swallowing that food. Similarly, Jesus' death on the cross wasn't merely imagined or symbolic. It was real. That is to say, it was gory and painful. And so likewise, you really do eat and drink our Lord Jesus' true body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins here at the altar. The church's communion cannot be virtual, because in Holy Communion, the Word made flesh draws near to us tangibly. We taste and see that the Lord is good as he draws near to us. My friends, the loneliness which runs so rampant in our world today, the cult of virtual reality and screen addictions, the emptiness left behind by our digital companions, all of these things find their answers here at Christmas, at the incarnation of our Lord. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In Jesus, God has fulfilled his eternal desire to draw near to his people. He is near to you. Forget about the screens and the social media. The Word became flesh in a manger, on Mary's lap, on the cross, at the tomb. And that Word is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And that same word, our Lord Jesus himself, draws near to dwell among us today at the font and at the altar. He is your God, and you are not alone. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.